recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. I love that about you, right, Drew?
You do, buddy. What's happening, man?
Something I forgot. Was I telling you I sent an email to Howard Stern? I can't remember if
well,
I told you that or not.
Well, you told me you called Howard Stern.
No, I didn't say I called him. I just said I talked to him.
Oh,
probably
yes.
Was ambiguous.
Yes,
me.
I got the sense that you called him. Well, yes, you did tell me that, and that you said that that I was a sensitive guy and that he'd hurt my feelings, but that you would take care of it.
Yes.
Well, I ran into Howard in New York. I saw
you
Howard
did.
In New York.
He did.
And he came out, and he was sort of upset.
Yes.
He was like, he thought, you know, he goes, Corolla, call me. Or contact me. I was like, oh, no, don't worry. It's fine. So we had a nice exchange, actually.
Where were you?
At Sirius. Yeah.
All right. Well, if you'd stop being such a puss,
well,
we could get on with our lives.
I didn't realize that I was pussing out so bad.
You're a pretty big puss.
I'm a pretty big puss, but I didn't realize what I told him was, and by the way, thank you for complaining
to
Bruce about my pussiness, by the way.
I wanted just to
pussosity.
I wanted just to say hi to Howard, but it struck me as I was doing that, I was hearkening back to you.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Okay.
So what I said to him was, and you find this very interesting, I said, Howard, you know what? I just realized as I was thinking about this, because I had just been on the wrap-up show, and I said the following. I said, you know what? I think Howard and I have the same dad. Very similar dude.
Oh, really?
Just ultra-Jewish, hardcore, just really abusive to the male children.
Mm-hmm.
I got a lot of financial abuse and stuff.
What do you mean financial abuse? We learned some days ago you couldn't get a down parka. But is that
well,
abuse?
He would, no. He would always go, like, from the age of, like, two. I'm not kidding. Because I can remember we moved from one house in Alhambra when I was two, and I remember these conversations with him where he'd go, you know, like, maybe, you know what, it was just after move. Maybe I was like three or something.
Yeah, two is a little young.
Because I remember where we were sitting, and he goes, oh, no, you need those shoes. We'll get them for you. But when we do, you're going to have to come visit me in the poorhouse. It's all right. It's okay. It's all right. No, I'll sit behind the window, and you can wave at me. You can wave to me from the poorhouse. It'll be all right. We'll see each other through the window at the poorhouse. And this went on for a decade of like every time I needed something, I would literally wear tattered pants and shoes because he would go through.
You're
such,
like Oliver Twist.
It was nutty. It was beyond nutty, and it was very abusive. Anyway.
I marvel. I marvel at parents and not, you know, son of a sharecropper, but like, our parents were somewhat, your family was very educated. Yeah. My family was educated enough. And these kinds of conversations that they would have with 8-year-old kids. It's insane.
It's insane.
The only conversations I've really ever had with my kid is, this is awesome. You know,
do you want to go to Disneyland or Magic Mountain?
Well, the only thing I do that might fall under the heading of any kind of advice or whatever is like, hey, man, find out what flips your cookie and then go after it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, we'll figure out a way to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
Somebody gave me a...
Which, by the way, you're going to end up with a...
I'm sure it'll be a disaster.
A millennial thing.
Somebody sent me made me a picture that said dream, believe, achieve. And it's just a picture of me looking at a car and racing a car or whatever. And I'll just run in the room. I'll go, dream, believe, achieve. Yeah. And I'll like run in the next room. You know, like I'll just dance and stuff. But I don't get my mom was having real conversations about real issues. You know,
and it's like, what? And Howard's dad used to call him a moron and shooter, this sort of Frankenstein character. They would call him shooter. And moron all the time. And did you ever hear the video, the audio tape he did with his sister and his dad? Oh, there's the car.
Dream, believe, achieve.
There it is.
That's all I do is I run in the next room and I yell, dream, believe, achieve, and I leave the room.
Fantastic.
I'm a hero. Go ahead.
You are a hero.
Recording with his sister.
Well, and you could hear the dad being so harsh on Howard, particularly, and Howard was just sort of a screwball kid. And And I said, you know, Howard, I really, you could relate to this because we have the same dad. And I was like behaving like a little kid going to dad. I something I was really excited to show mm-hmm. him. And you crushed my spirit. And I thought, and that's so stupid. I was behaving like a little kid. And it was made for great radio. And so relax. It's all fine.
Yes.
So
agreed. So. All right. There's a question. It's reminding me because it's George Takei.
Yeah.
Or Takei, sorry.
Let's go talk to him.
Eddie, 35, Detroit.
Hey.
Hey now.
Hey, what's up, Adam and Dr. Drew? How are you guys?
Good, man.
Stern, hey now.
What's going on?
Oh, not much, you know, just chilling. Hey, all right, so here's my question, right? Now, with all the different people getting accused of, you know, these sexual allegations and assault, now, why was when George Takei accused and he simply denied it that everyone just dropped it and it was just a nothing? Whereas most of these other cases...
I'm with you to some degree, but here's the whole thing. It's really hard to decide what we quickly move off of
yeah.
and what we make a full course, right. seven-course meal out of. It's not based necessarily on the severity of the allegation. George Takei is, you know, almost 90 years old. This thing happened a long time ago.
There's like 30 years ago. Like 25 years ago or something like that.
Oh, not 25 years ago. This could have been
30.
35 years ago. I mean, we're talking about like early
80s. He's in his
80s.
He's in his 80s, and this happened in the 80s.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, he's 80, he's 80 years old. My apologies.
He looks well for 80.
Yes. He right. does. And this happened when 35 years ago or whatever, number one. Number two.
And it was a gay encounter or something that was unwanted?
He brought a guy home and the guy passed out and he woke up with his pants down, so he says. You know, it's kind of the usual.
The chili hole, I think, was.
The usual whatever. He's also not in a position of hiring or firing or making senatorial decisions or anything. You know, there's not.
Right.
He wasn't what you call an abuse of power. I think the stuff that has to resonate with people in the time we're living in is an abuse of power.
Totally
That's the
agree.
Thing that all the pussies have their fucking panties in a bunch over.
But part of
Bruce,
it, though,
the abuse of power.
Well,
so this is not considered an abuse of power.
But sometimes they just want to bring people who are in power out of power. So sometimes
so
it's
he's
that
not
too.
In a position of power, nor was he in a position of power.
And to be fair,
takes a lot of the momentum off it.
Also, when it's one person's report and somebody who was intoxicated might have blacked out, or who knows, maybe he was a willing participant and George didn't realize how intoxicated he was. And by the way, it was 35 years ago. But it's different than when there's physical evidence, right? Like poor Al Franken had a picture, right?
Yeah,
and so
something.
It is different when it's a report than
well,
when
yes.
there's evidence.
Here's the thing. The first salvo is good to get the wheels turning, but the car will very quickly coast to a stop and go nowhere if we don't keep pushing it.
Right.
And what keeps pushing it is other people must keep coming forward. If it's just one and done, it just kind of goes away.
Yeah.
Al Franken would have gone away if it was just one and done, and Judge Moore would have gone away. But they incrementally. Another one.
Don't
another
you think
one.
Al Franken
and that kind of keeps it.
Al Franken had like Asperger's and didn't like know how to function socially and sort of lunged at women so that thought it was funny. Did you think it was that?
Yeah, I don't even think he lunged at women.
No, he did.
He was
like,
screwing around.
Right, but he would do it in ways that really were sort of socially, in ways that you wouldn't do. Like he grabbed
He wasn't captain of the football team. He was a comedy writer. And I'm sure he was a nerd. Oh,
sorry.
Drew's getting
that.
Cold. I put the air on in here. You can shut it off.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, what Al Franken did was somewhere between nothing and a one and a half. Now, everyone always feels really reluctant about talking that way, but I'm always like, well, look, we have to define everything. Otherwise, we're out.
Yeah.
Like, we're screwed.
I know.
I need to know the difference between murder one and a guy who speeds. Because they're not both just criminals.
But there's no due process in this. This is mob action.
Yeah. All right. So you wanted to talk about tribalism.
Well, you're getting into it right now with this conversation, which is that, you know, people are breaking
That's my
down.
Segue.
Yeah. They're breaking down into these sort of tribal groups and then behaving like mobs. That some tribes get together, some separate, some fight with each other. It's primitive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all sort of. I've said this before on the show. It's sort of acting out in the public square, which is social media. We have this giant public square where the mobs form and get going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I told you I predicted this a long time ago. I put a chapter about it in my book on narcissism, and they had me take it out because it seemed too far-fetched when I said that, you know, this the only period of history that I can find so much childhood trauma and so much narcissism is pre-revolutionary France.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, and that didn't go so well. The guillotine comes out, and then the people that are putting people on the guillotine, then they get guillotined, and it just starts eating itself.
Yeah.
My question to you is, where are we going? Where does this stop? I can't figure it out. Again, looking at history, there's only three things that I see stop stuff like this. Civil war,
mm-hmm.
common enemy, like North Korea does something, or you behead the king. You chop mm-hmm. the head of the king, you know, some major leaders, you know, something happens.
Yeah.
But that's all I know in history. It's all I've seen, unless this plays out in some way, and I don't know where it's going.
I've always just basically distilled it down to dogs on a plane.
And
what stops people from bringing their pets with them on flights is sort of common decency, like a general awareness of oneself and how you fit into the general social fabric.
Yeah.
And then a sort of a golden rule thing, which is, well, would you want to sit next to somebody with their pet on a long flight? If the answer is no, then I bet they wouldn't want to sit. And that was sort of enough to kind of keep everyone in check.
Yeah.
You know, just here's what you'd like to do and here's what you do. And then it started. And I immediately started screaming about it every chance I got. And everyone was kind of like – people at the beginning would answer me things like, but they like their pets. Or, you know, it's just like insane things. Or that dog's certified. He's a seizure alert dog. And it's like lots of nonsense. And then I realized, look, people need to start speaking up because we're not going to be able to – we're not going to be able to legislate everything away. You can't legislate everything. There's too many people. There's not the laws we haven't thought of, you know. We can't just make a law. You'll always be chasing it.
Well, it's...
You know, yeah. Now they're chasing it. Like, you can't bring your dog into the oral surgery center, you know, because of... And it's like, we're insane because we don't realize... Here's what we don't realize, Drew. We don't realize how quickly... good people can do bad things when we make it the norm and we leave the door open.
Yeah.
And we make it easy for them.
Yeah.
We don't know how it's a thing. I used to hear it all the time. It kind of reminded me of like, well, she's suing the bank because the bank put $100,000 into her savings account. Her savings account only had $100 in it. Then they put $100,000. Then she spent $90,000 on potpourri, and now the bank wants their money back, and she's suing them. Yeah. It's like, how about you give them their money back?
Yeah.
Well, they screwed up. They put the money in the – yeah, they did.
And you stole it.
And then you stole it.
Yeah.
Like, it's an insane
– So I'm not sure – I'm not actually following you. I'm not okay, sure where you're going. No.
I'm just saying it's up to us.
So do we need to restore interpersonal decency is what you're saying? Or
all these people need to go – their wives, their husbands, coworkers, what have you. They need to go, where the fuck are you going with your dog? And they're going, I'm going to the airport. Why?
But I mean,
because I want to travel them. They go, what's wrong with
how
you?
Does
there's something wrong with you. Somebody at home needs to go, what is wrong with you?
So,
If Lynette wanted to start traveling with Phil, I would go, no.
But
you can't do that.
And that's a metaphor, I think, you're saying, for something else?
Yes. Just in general, let's look, folks. We need to start policing ourselves.
But how does that go down to like the sexual harassment allegations, things like that?
Well, the allegations? Well, okay. I mean, we need to understand.
The idea that people's lives are being destroyed because of things they may or may not have done, but there's allegations that they did them. And
well,
they're just,
okay.
Boom,
you can't have this. You can't have this. Here's what I'm saying. You can't have this mentality. Hey, a rich guy just got a parking ticket.
Mm-hmm.
How much should he pay? Who got the parking ticket? Rich guy. I didn't get a parking ticket? No, you didn't get a parking ticket. Oh, what if I got a parking ticket? It'd be $30. But you get to decide what the rich guy paid. Why don't we charge $3 million and we could get a new, like a librarian and a bridge. And you go, but do you think it's fair for him to pay three? Well, he's a rich guy, right? Yeah. Well, hold on. Could I be charged $3 million? No, no. You're 30 is your max. Oh, yeah. Well, then charge him $3 million. That's how kids think. Like, that's an adolescent thought. That's an insane thought. And you're like, but I want a new library, and I want a new bridge, and I want a new park, and I want him to pay for it. Yeah, but do you really think $3 million for a parking ticket is the right amount to pay? I'm not paying it.
Yeah.
That's – now, I'm not paying it's a scary thing. So it's like, should this guy lose his job over this? Who's losing their job? Not me.
We need to build –
well, then we can do whatever we want to him.
We build community? Is that what you're saying?
It has to start with a personal dignity.
Yes.
It has to start with the thing of like you find a wallet, it's filled with cash, you turn it in not because you hate cash or you don't like free things or you don't like expensive things. It's because this has nothing to do with you. This is not your money. It is not your cash. You do what you do, and then you get a certain dignity, and you can't put a price on dignity. That's what people – we've sold dignity out a long time ago, and dignity is about the most precious thing you have, and we're not interested. There's no – but it doesn't have a price that goes to it, but it is more valuable than titanium or platinum. And we don't talk about dignity. How come no one talks about dignity? And also, people are not – intellectually honest. How many people other than me are basically grabbing a microphone and yelling, whatever Al Franken did, it's not even a one, it's a 0.5. It's like, you see these talking heads bloviating on all the talk shows. Look, anytime, anything, I have zero tolerance. Zero tolerance is the biggest fucking mistake we ever made. I never signed off on zero tolerance. What do you mean zero tolerance? What does that even mean? We have zero tolerance for any kind of workplace, sexual, zero tolerance, and you get to decide who's crossed the line with zero tolerance? So zero tolerance means off with their head,
right?
And now you get to be the arbitrator of this.
Right.
You get to decide.
With no process. No process? Yeah.
You don't think that's a scary concept?
Yes,
and by the way,
you've
labeled yourself a hero because you've announced, here at Corolla Digital, we have zero tolerance for it. Fuck off, by the way.
That's
you don't
what
even
I'm
know
asking.
What zero tolerance
where does
means,
this,
you sacks of blowhardy shit.
Where does this go? Where is this heading?
I here's what I think. And maybe I'm all over the road here, but
yeah.
I think the people that don't engage, that are willing to work hard, that are willing to keep their eye on the prize and not get sucked into this mess,
but
I feel like they're going to take over the world because the idiots are just going to be fighting out in the street. Mm. That's the way I feel about it. I feel like my kids, all they have to do is not have a horrible attitude, and they'll rise to the top. Everyone's such a mess and everyone's such a victim and everyone's so wounded now that all my kids have to do is not feel like victims and not care
but
about their
But if they do succeed, they'll be a target.
They'll weather the storm. The cream rises to the top, Drew. Like TrueCar, man, you want a tip? How about remove some of that extra junk you got in your trunk and get a little better mileage, man? Take some of that weight and get it unsprung, man. You don't need that extra weight pulling around. Think about that. Think about pedaling a bicycle and putting a couple of big saddlebags filled with lead in it. How hard would that be? Your engine. That's the engine. Your thighs are the engine.
Yeah, it's hard.
Let's lighten the burden. So clean out that car. I got another tip for you. How about TrueCar, man? Helps you get that certified TrueCar. They have dealers all over the place. They have a network of dealers, have inventory. I mean, nearly 1 million used cars. Enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience. It's faster. It's easier. It's the best. It's TrueCar. And when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, you check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident buying experience. TrueCar. Some features not available in all states. All right, Drew, let's power through some calls.
Yeah, good
here.
Calls coming
Starting
up.
Starting at the top.
Yeah.
Cody, 24, Sacramento. Cody.
Hey, what's up, Adam?
What's going on, man?
So about months ago, I chipped my front tooth, and being lazy, I put it off the entire time and just got it fixed today. So I'm wondering what the longest you put off something you needed to get done was.
Huh. Like the longest intervals between dentist visits?
Well,
that could be it, but I mean, like something that is... something you need to take care of that you haven't taken care of.
I didn't have car insurance for years when I was poor. I didn't file tax returns for a long time when I was poor. I didn't go to the dentist for probably like 7 or 8 years when I was poor, and I never flossed either. So all of the above, like all the basic stuff. And now I got to get my prostate exam because I'm into that.
How about colonoscopy?
I mean, my colonoscopy or whatever it is. Drew's got to set it up.
All that stuff.
Set it up, Drew.
Okay.
Do it yourself, man.
I want a familiar,
gentle touch. I want a slow hand. You know what I mean?
Yes, a slow. Okay.
I want a lover with a gentle touch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Colonoscopy, right?
Yeah. And PSA and digital rectal exam.
That's
they'll do the DRE at the colonoscopy. They'll feel your prostate there.
While I'm asleep?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
They need a blood test too.
Two birds with one finger. Yeah. All right. So there you go, Cody.
All right. Thanks, Adam.
Thank you. Let's talk to, Missy, 32, Austin.
Hi there.
What's going on?
I have a question for you guys. So, I lost my job like 5 years ago. I got fired and I know you're going to hate this, for doing the right thing for the client. I was working in banking in like credit risk management. And so when I lost my job, I was like 26, I think. And so I took an internship out of like a mutual fund company. And I really just wanted to like learn about the industry. So I took this internship thinking that I would only stay for maybe a year. And then they said that they would pay for me to go to school. So I kind of got roped in. And so I ended up working there as an intern basically for 5 years. Whoops. And so now I'm old. And I am trying to find a new job. And every job I go into, they're like I'm trying to get into like entry-level accounting jobs just because I'm looking for something that's not stressful. I go into interviews and people tell me all the time, like, you belong in risk management or you belong in project management and like all these other things that I have no interest in doing. Mm-hmm. And I cannot get a basic job. So my internship...
Wait, hold a second. I'm getting very confused. So are they telling you you're overqualified?
I think that's what they are.
Okay, hold on. And what was the original problem with the bank? What exactly happened?
So it's a really long story, but basically there was a transaction that I needed to get an approval on from someone that had the proper authority. So I contacted like the most senior level person in the company, which is well within like the scope of my job. I called him at home. It was like I basically had 2 minutes to get a decision and send this transaction out the door. So I didn't have time to call my boss at home and tell her what was going on. So I contacted the person I knew that could approve the transaction and we could get it out the door. It was for our largest client. So I got his approval and I sent it. And my boss was angry that I didn't call her at home, which I had never in my entire 4 years of doing
this
job.
Did
the transaction go bad?
No. I mean, the thing is that somebody else dropped the ball, so I was kind of just trying to scramble and clean up someone else's mess.
God.
I can't remember if the transaction actually went through or not, because it was... There was a really short period of time to get it done.
Forget about hold on a second, all the stuff, all the fucking paperwork and everything. It's like we're living in a nutty society.
Oh, you don't even know.
Oh, I do know, because I buy like commercial property and stuff, and it's like, we need to have the certified. I have my assistant, Matt, sign almost everything. Almost every single thing I sign, he signs. I just tell everyone, sign everything for me all the time. I sign as much stuff as I can. And then what I'm going to do, my big goal, is to get one of my guys notary. Yeah, notary public. I'm going to get somebody certified as a notary public, and then I'm really in. Because now I'm really just telling, I'll tell Chris, go watch Fondelier while he signs shit and then notarize it. And then people can go, well, what about his jobs? Like, I used to teach comedy traffic school. I had the same stuff, and I didn't care. Yeah. Didn't care. You don't realize the man is just going insane. You're an idiot if you just dance. You just go, everyone who's listening, get everyone to sign everything. You'll never see it. You're true. Has anyone ever pulled out a deed or a contract and went, let's go over this from 9 years ago and see if this is your actual signature or not? It's neither here nor there.
I've had it a million times in medical records. A million times.
They pull it out?
They pull it out and go, Dr. Pinsky, this is your signature here? Did you write this prescription?
Well, yeah, but still, if someone else signed it, you wouldn't give a shit. I mean, if you gave the – my thing is, like, I'm not saying I want someone to embezzle from me.
Yeah.
My thing is Matt's on the phone with me, and he's going, you need to sign this release for blah, blah, blah. And I go, sign it. Meaning, well, you know, that is me signing it.
Right.
It's my consent.
That's right.
For you
correct.
To forge my signature.
I completely agree with that as long as I ask you. But you should get the electronic apps. You can just – you just push a button and it signs it. That's it. You get your actual signature on
there. We do as much of that as we can, but they have to get the notary, and then it's like your wife has to be present. It's like, Jesus, goddamn. Damn Christ. Drives me insane.
All right, so let's finish the Missy, though.
I'm not going there. So I just can't
figure out let me talk about Simply Safe first. It's a home security, of course, no better than now time to get that home security system. It's the holidays. Everyone's home. Let's help get together and put it all up. Simply Safe Home Security, S-I-M-P-L-I Safe with an I, the best protection, period. And Adam has worked to put together a private security arsenal for you. It's a special package. Entry, motion, and glass break sensors, everything. Right now for the holidays, our friends at Simply Safe are giving our listeners a $200 off this package. So there's no contracts, no commitments. And right now, $200 off Adam's hand-picked security package includes entry, motion, glass break sensors. It's an arsenal. You can get it at simplysafe.com/Adam2, TWA. Not only will you get
that.
TWO, I beg your pardon.
That's an old airline.
That is an old airline. That is simplysafe.com/Adam, the word for the number, TWO/Adam2, and you'll get $200 off this security arsenal. Adam's security pick, simplysafe.com/Adam2.
Missy.
Yes.
You now have been taken advantage of, which I don't understand how that happened.
I wasn't really taking advantage of.
Hold on a second. Why would the boss man fire you for doing something that seemed pretty procedural?
She stepped outside of probably the chain of command, and that can be problematic.
Well, it can be problematic if you don't like somebody.
Yeah.
Or they're not hot. Yeah. But it won't be a problem if you're hot and or.
You didn't step out of the chain of command?
No, my boss would never have been able to approve the transaction. She had zero authority.
I understand, but
why is your boss looking for an excuse? Because I feel like, for me in general, I look for excuses not to let people go or whatever, but eventually they just keep pushing and then you just got to let them go because they're idiots. But for the most part, bosses don't want to fire people, especially people that are in earnest trying to do their job.
Yeah.
So why would the boss man, woman go out of the way?
So the only thing that I could think of was she didn't hire me, someone else did, and my old boss got fired for being terrible, and this new lady took over, and I was the only person in my department that didn't have a degree, and so that was like a huge thing
for
her.
Hold on a second. When somebody's just showing up and working and getting the job done, I mean, I feel like I've dealt with this a lot in a lot of different environments. What's like, you know, when people go, well, I didn't have a degree and that bothered her or whatever it is. And it's like, I don't know. She bothered when you're showing up and doing a good job every day. Like what goes on? I don't know.
I get what you're saying. And to be honest with you, Adam, I asked my coworkers, like after I left, they were like, we asked what you did wrong so that we could avoid doing the same thing, and they had no answer for us. So they
This is worse. This is just your boss really wanting to get rid of you.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
okay.
Don't be proud.
Don't brag about that.
All right. So now you've taken advantage of it. Did you get to go to school during those 5 years of the, quote, internship?
Yeah. Like,
okay, so you got to go to school.
The thing is, they also gave me the opportunity to have another job. So I worked full-time at another company, like seasonally, at a large corporation, doing something that I really wanted to do and to gain experience. And I really want to continue doing that.
But
every
what?
Time, like,
which is what?
I was working in, like, human resources and, like, payroll, which is kind of in the realm of accounting. So it fit well with going to school, right?
All right.
And so...
Well, what's going on, Missy? You got a man?
No.
Why no
I
man?
I don't have time for that.
No
I don't have time for that.
There's something going on. What's going on, Missy?
That whole, like, job situation was really terrible. My bosses were really abusive. I don't want to work in banking anymore at all, and every time I go into interviews, they're just, like, pushing me back in that direction. And even, like, my internship... The positions that they were offering me, the full-time positions they were offering me.
All right. We're not going to be able to sort this out other than you're 32 years old and you don't seem to have any kind of handle on your life. It's just a lot of people doing things to you. So let's get a handle, baby.
Do you take
care
of yourself physically? I worry that you're sort of not paying attention to yourself physically.
I've been, like, just in this weird place for, like, 2 years. So it's frustrating. I don't know.
Do you work out? Are you taking care of yourself?
Not really.
Yeah. I feel like you need to just take care of yourself.
Unfortunately, I don't have time to do that. So.
Oh, yes. Listen, everyone has time to do everything. Missy, there's something going on. Look, I'm going to sum this up.
For some reason, you're breaking my heart.
You're breaking Drew's heart.
It's really frustrating.
Yeah, I know, but it's not that. Look, listen to me. I know everything. There's something going on with you. You're a 32-year-old who's very confused by life, and you're letting things happen to you constantly that you should be more proactive about. And it's not this person fired me for no reason, this person hates me, or this person took advantage of me. It sounds like there's a bunch of problems and issues.
I don't have time
to work out. I don't have time to have a relationship. Yeah. I don't have time. You're unemployed, for Christ's sake. You got all the time
in
the world.
But it's an all-day thing.
Missy, it's not an all-day thing. Being unemployed is not an all-day affair that doesn't let you get out and jog a couple of miles in the afternoon. You need to wrestle your life back, okay? Stop externalizing everything. Stop talking about the bosses and the person that screwed me over and you got fired for no reason. And as a matter of fact, you did the right thing and all you did was get fired. And stop pushing. Everything's out there. You take it in and then you control it. Because you can't control it. People make the biggest... It's driving me nuts, Dro. Everyone does the guy, he didn't, but nobody told me. But I'm always left out of the loop. But I no one talks to me about stuff. And then I get blamed. And it's like, okay, do you not want to control your life? Jesus goddamn Christ, internalize. And then you can control. I know no one wants to internalize because they don't want to go... I made a mistake, and it's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
What they want to do is, I wasn't told. I was left. I've heard people give me excuses like, I'm left out of the loop. It's like, what does that even mean? What do you mean left out? Why don't you get in the loop? Why don't you ask a question? Like, no one tells me. Shut up and get involved. Stop pushing. God damn, it's driving me nuts.
You use dude all the time.
Everyone.
You say dude.
Dude, everyone does it when they're 9, but then you knock it off. So Missy needs to internalize and control.
She needs friends and people around
her. She needs friends. She needs a boyfriend. She needs a treadmill.
Yeah.
She's got to give away a cat. She's got to get her own house in order. Stop making it about career. Okay. Where was it?
Exclusively about career.
Exclusively about career. And stop letting everyone do things to you. Thursday, January 25th, Irvine Improv, 8 o'clock. Cobra, man, Basic Cable live, man. Commentary.
Hey,
Basic Cable commentary.
This is our last show of the year. We got to say Merry Christmas to everybody.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
And Happy New Year and everything.
And Happy New Year.
And Missy, it's a new year coming. Turn over a new leaf. This is it. This is your year, 2018.
We'll be back on New Year's to wish everyone a new Happy New Year with original
content
on New Year's Day.
That's right, New Year's Day.
So says Gary, so says God. All right, and go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need and all the merch and holiday drink stuff. Go to Carolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette over there. What do you got, Drewski?
Just go to Dr.com, check everything out.
You can watch the ACE Awards today on the ACS feed if you like watching live. And until next time, I'm Adam Carolla for Dr. Hussain. Mahalo.
This is Corolla Digital.